All right, so last week we began looking at this letter of 1 Peter, that Peter, the apostle, disciple of Jesus, sent out to all these Christians in what's modern-day Turkey. And the question that Peter is answering for them, or trying to help them to answer, is how should I live? How do I live in this world as a follower of Jesus? And it's not always an easy question. And I think, computer starting up, very cool. All right, we have not always an easy question to answer. And one of the things that makes it difficult is that we have this urge in us to belong and to fit in. And sometimes even to blend in. We just, I remember that was always my goal when I went to high school dances. I knew I wasn't going to be the greatest dancer, but I just wanted to blend in. I didn't want to stand out as the worst dancer, just kind of fit in, no one noticed, you know, kind of thing. We have this urge to just blend in, to fit in and belong. But I think sometimes as Christians, and even in general, we get this sense that there's a disconnect, that we're kind of cut off from fully belonging. We're not fully understood. And how do we deal with that, that reality? And that's one of the, when Peter speaks to the Christians in Asia Minor of the time, modern day Turkey, he's wrestling with this question, you know, this urge to fit in, but you don't, kind of, at the same time. He calls them exiles, people who don't quite belong. And it's not really a matter of physical place. I mean, we are people who belong in this created world, right? I mean, we belong here. We don't belong in up in the sky with harps and wings and things like that. We belong here in this world, but it is a matter of our society and the patterns of our culture that a lot of times the ways of God and the ways of following Christ don't match up and flow with the patterns of our society, the patterns of our culture, and the world that we live in. And so we have this feeling of being exiles. And the question then is kind of nuanced. How should I live as an exile in this world? And Peter's answer this morning is to live holy lives. To live holy lives. Now, what comes to mind when you hear the word holy? What do you think of when you think of a holy life? What comes to mind? Faithful?
Pure.
What's that?
Pure.
A saint, like, you know, an official saint of the church, yeah.
Pure.
How many of you, when you think of what you really want your life to be about, the first word that comes to mind is holy? I think a lot of us, when we hear holy, you know, we might think of pure and faithful and boring. Am I right? Like, I mean, if you ask people around, just stop them on the street and ask them what they think of when they think of, you know, living a holy life, they'd probably be like, well, maybe you don't drink or smoke, or in some places, you know, living a holy life means you don't go to the movie theater or, you know, anything. You don't listen to certain kinds of music. You know, it's kind of boring. But that's not the picture of holiness that Peter depicts here. Now, I'm not preaching a sermon that says you should go out smoking and drinking and doing all kinds of troublemaking and all that. But look at the picture of holiness that Peter gives to the people. He begins by saying, therefore, prepare your minds for action. And that word for prepare is gird up the loins of your mind, okay? So you can picture them, they would wear the robes back in the day, kind of thing, these long robes. And if you were just walking around, that was fine. But if you really wanted to get somewhere, you kind of had to hike them up, kind of thing. And you might have to do that today. That's what Peter is saying. Prepare your minds for action. Prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourself. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring to you when he is revealed. Do not be conformed to the desires of this world. And so he's saying, you're not going to fit in. You're going to be different. And the picture of this picture of holiness is not a picture of boredom. It's a picture of an adventure, swimming upstream against the cultural current. Do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. Later it says in verse 21, through him you have come to trust in God who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set in God. It doesn't mean you don't do a lot of things. It means your trust, your hope are set on God who raised Jesus from the dead. There's a big difference between living holy lives and living boring lives. And a lot of people don't want to live holy lives because wherever they are and whatever their picture of holy is, it just means boring. It means a life that's defined by the don'ts. I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't do these things. I don't go here. I don't listen to this, I don't watch that, I don't do... And if your life is defined by don'ts, it is going to be boring. To live a holy life is to have a life that is defined by what we do, where our life is directed. To live a holy life, in Peter's words, is to live into the holiness of God. And think about God's life, right? He says, be holy, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And that's from the Old Testament, from Leviticus. They say it over and over again. God says, be holy, for I am holy. What is God's life like? Creating beauty out of chaos, right? Shining light into darkness, exposing the dark things of this world and bringing them to light. Feeding the hungry, humbling the proud, transforming people's hearts. Like, this is not a boring life that God lives. God lives an exciting, creative, transformative, joyful life. To be holy as God is holy is to live that life, is to live into God's holiness, into God's love, into God's grace, and it's radical. And I mean, Jesus... Read the Gospels, friends. Jesus did not live a boring life. He lived a holy life that was filled with excitement and drama and tension and joy and victory. That's the kind of life that Peter wants us to live when he says, be holy as God is holy. We don't always fit in. And that's okay. That's why we have community here. Hopefully we do fit in amongst one another, but we don't always fit in the world. And Peter, a couple times already, and we're going to see it again, brings us to this idea about when, in verse 13 he says, that Jesus Christ will bring when he is revealed. He brings this picture of when Jesus is revealed. This picture of the return of Jesus, or even the judgment, where we come to Jesus face to face. He uses that picture a number of times. And I think it's a really helpful picture, because it helps us to think about what kind of lives we really want. When you're standing face to face with Jesus, who broke down the barriers between heaven and earth, who walked among all kinds of people, who live that adventure of love and grace, what kind of life do you want to present to him? Do you want to present a comfortable life? Oh yeah, I just kind of coasted. My life was pretty simple. I survived. I mean, is that the life, ultimately, that you want to have lived? You know, I had a steady job, I was comfortable, I had enough money to do the things I wanted to do, maybe I went skydiving, I had kids who are lawyers and doctors and all of these things, and they had enough money to do what they wanted to do, and I mean, is that it? Or do you want to have impacted the world in the manner that Jesus impacted the world. I lived a life where I was recklessly abandoned to the cause of love and grace and bringing healing to people and feeding the hungry and lifting up the brokenhearted. A life where I was willing to lose everything for the sake of joy. Not just momentary happiness or pleasure, but joy. I was fulfilled because I was doing good work, the kind of work that God does, the kind of thing that God created me to do. What kind of life do you want to hold up to God when your time on this earth has ended? That's the question that Peter's asking. To be holy, to be a holy exile, can be uncomfortable. It can be very uncomfortable. It was for Jesus, wasn't it? Jesus did not live a comfortable life by any means. But what is comfort when you compare it to joy and fulfillment and love and an eternal and enduring impact on the world? The gospel word that was planted in you, while everything else fades and dies, endures forever because it's good, because it's better, because it's more. How should I live? Live a holy life. Live into the life of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Holy God, you are like no other. And that's a good thing for us. Thank you for purchasing us with your blood, with your sacrifice. Thank you for pulling us out of lesser lives so that we could live into the adventure of redemption and love. And I pray, Lord, that you would, in our eyes, in our minds, help us to see the lesser things that we settle for and quickly trade them for the better lives that you have for us, for the holy lives that you have for us, for the lives of joy and hope and peace. We pray this all in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Friends, I think there are a lot of ways that we are living kind of a holy life as a church, and I just lift up to you in the bulletin some of those things. You know, some of those things that make the world stand up and take notice, like bringing in food for the hungry, like serving meals for free to people. When people say, oh, it's free? What? Why? Participate in those things. Gather in community with people. A lot of people just in our culture today, maybe the biggest enemy is isolation. Just feeling isolated. So gather in community together. That's why we have focus groups. That's why we pulled you up today to be together, because I could actually hear your voices singing together. We could hear each other's voices singing. That's a good thing. That's not something a lot of people participate in our culture. So be different. Be holy. Gather in community. Serve people. Sacrifice for the sake of others. We're going to sing two songs. The first one is about this great source that we have to live these holy lives, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Oh, church, stand in the light. Your God is not dead, so your lives shouldn't be dead. He's alive, and so you should be alive. And the last one is about our mission to proclaim the good news to all the world. And because I like to give these guys a little challenge every week, we'll see how "Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing" sounds in this format. So let's sing joyfully, and let's sing with a deep sense of what God has called us to. Let's stand.